Here comes episode number 225.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. No matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it is a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this show is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So you're very welcome here, and we're very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Hey, have you looked at RV prices lately? Whoa, they are through the roof. You can expect to pay well over $100,000 to buy a new Class B camper van. Even $150,000 is really not that unusual. And some of the super high-end ones are closer to $200,000. Now, those high prices are one reason why lots of RVers are making their own RV vans, buying stripped-down cargo vans, and then turning them into their own customized RV with exactly the features, exactly the accessories that they want. Well, this week in our topic of the week interview, we're going to talk to a DIY van expert who has helped hundreds of people build their own RVs and even has an online course that shows you how to do it. So if you've ever wondered about that, stay tuned because that's coming up a little later in the RV podcast, along with lots of RV news this week, tips, travel ideas, and much, much more. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we are just back from our annual winter campout at Tequamanon Falls State Park in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And man, we had a great time up there, didn't we?
I look forward to that more than anything.
Yeah.
Every year, I love snow and I love the beauty of the falls. I love the evergreens, the terrain, taking our hikes, taking our walks. Even though I've done them before, it just seems right to see them again.
Well, this is the fifth year in a row we've invited people with us. 6 years ago, we were up there all alone and had a great time. And then we said, well, next year we'll tell you when we're going. And a few people came and a few more. And we set a record this time. How many people did we have? At one point at dinner, someone counted 51, but I think it was bigger than that.
It was larger than that because I looked at the list of people who had signed up and they didn't have everybody on that list. So I, you know, it was over 50.
We had, let's see, we had Road Trek Class Bs, we had Pleasure Way Class B, we had an Advanced RV Class B, we had a fifth wheel, we had two DIY units. In fact, that's what led us to the topic of our interview that we'll have this week. Two people who showed up actually made their own Class B camper vans, and we were just really excited about that. We'll be having a video on that in a few weeks, but they led me to the guy who really, one of the couples led us to the guy who helped them come up with the design they use, and he's got a whole business built on helping people convert and make their own vans, and DIY camping vans, and he's going to tell us how to do that a little later on, so that was fun. And then we had two people in tents.
And that was fun, seeing how they were staying warm and being in tents, and they were just as happy as they could be.
They were so warm. They had wood-burning stoves in the tents, and you'll see them, and you'll see a recap of our whole video of our winter camp out on Thursday, Thursday the 17th of January. If you're listening to this in the future, it'll be up there. You can find it on the our YouTube channel, which, of course, is youtube.com/RV lifestyle, but we've got a really fun video that shows you all the things we did and how much fun Bo had in the snow.
There were 9 dogs up there.
Yep.
And Bo, he always has a good time up there. He doesn't want to come home. It's the climate, the snow, the weather. It's what he's made for.
Yep. Well, I think we are too. So we had a great time.
So we brought in the winter parkas and the snow boots. And now we're packing shorts, t-shirts, and flip-flops because we're headed to Tampa, Florida, where we'll be attending the annual RV Super Show there at the Florida State Fairgrounds.
Yep, this is going to be fun. They bill that show, by the way, as the greatest RV show in America. And I love it. Hershey, Pennsylvania, they bill theirs as the largest RV show in America. So there's always been this rivalry between Hershey and Tampa, which one is the biggest. And boy, we've been to both, and it's really hard to make a call. I think any show that gets you into Florida in the middle of the wintertime is got the edge as far as I'm concerned, although we love Hershey too. That is fun. But this one is a very big show. And while a couple of other big shows around the country like Hershey and then the California RV show may want to also claim that greatest title, the RV Super Show in Florida is huge. Every major RV manufacturer will be there, and many of them are introducing brand new designs for 2019. And Jennifer and I obviously will be there, camera in hand, and we'll be visiting as many as we can and doing videos on all the new models that we see.
And I just looked at the press release, and it says they have over 1,500 RVs on display covering 26 acres. So there will be plenty to see. So you better wear comfortable walking shoes, the right kind of jacket, carry some water and a hat, and be prepared to walk.
I talked to somebody who was down there today, and they were telling me that it was 62 degrees today. We're recording this on Tuesday, the 15th of January. And they said it was 62 degrees. And I said, oh my goodness, that's cold. But I looked and it's supposed to be in the 70s and up to 80 degrees on Saturday. But not only are there new RVs there, but there are, and this is one of the favorite things we do, lots of RV-related accessories and products that are being displayed. They have 450 vendors registered for this show, Jennifer.
The show opens to the public today, Wednesday, January 16th, and runs through Sunday, January 20th. The cost of admission is $10 per adult, and each ticket, good for a free second day to return, and children under 16 are free.
And dogs are free. You'll see lots of dogs in strollers. We did a video on that some years ago, and it was pretty fun. Bo's not going with us. We're actually flying down to this show because we just didn't have enough time to get back from the Upper Peninsula and then get down to Tampa by driving. So we're flying there and back. And then we're turning around and driving down to Florida, where we'll be able to stay in the southern states for a couple months anyway and having some fun. But we will be all over the RV Super Show. So if you are going and if you see us, be sure and introduce yourself. We don't mind having people come up and say hi anytime. That's great. We will also be hosting a special meet and greet that you can find us for sure on Saturday. From about 11 in the morning till 2:33 in the afternoon, you can find us on Saturday hanging out at the Road Trek Motorhomes display. We'll use that as the meet point, and we will be there. And for those of you who are in different parts of the country and you can't get to this show, we invite you to tune in to a special Tampa RV Show edition of our weekly Ask Us Anything live stream that we do on YouTube every week. Though instead of our usual Sunday night show on YouTube this week, we will do a special 3 p.m. Eastern time Ask Us Anything live stream on Saturday, direct from the show. And again, you can find us at youtube.com/RV Lifestyle.
And we can't wait for the Tampa show. But if it's too far from you, be sure to stay tuned to the end of the podcast and look on the show notes page for this episode, as there are a great many other RV shows held all across North America this weekend. And we will tell you about all of them. Just check the show notes page at roadtrekking.com/225, and we'll put links to each of those shows so you can get all the details that you need.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, once again, the damaging effects of America's on America's national parks from the federal government partial shutdown continues to dominate the outdoor news this week. Last week, we learned about Joshua Tree National Park and how it made headlines after vandals cut down trees to make their own roads, to set up camp spots in places that were off limits to camping. They cut down chains to access roads that were off limits. They left graffiti as a handful of rangers were trying to protect the park, which is the size of the state of Delaware. And throughout the country, there are stories about volunteer groups attempting to step in, you know, to help protect the national parks by picking up trash, among other things. And the National Parks Foundation, which is a charity for the federal park system set up by Congress, announced that it was launching a fundraiser to help the parks during the government shutdown. Most parks do remain open with skeleton staff, but they're subject to closure at any moment if the shutdown is causing any kind of a safety hazard or is damaging the environment. So everyone hoping, again, that shutdown is settled sometime soon.
Now, we've all heard stories about the importance of keeping our dogs contained while driving so they don't accidentally hit the gears. Well, a poor fisherman from Tennessee learned this the hard way last week when his dog accidentally stepped on the gear shift, hitting reverse, caused his 38-foot RV to back into a lake. The owner stepped out of the RV for a minute and was unloading his boat when Bodie, his 2-year-old Dalmatian, accidentally did this, much to the owner's surprise. The whole thing was captured on video. We'll put a link in the show notes at roadtrekking.com/225.
Well, as we report this, Jennifer and I have, as we said, just left our winter camp out at Tequamanon Falls State Park in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. But while we were there, actually not long, really, a week or two before we got up there, some hikers were out late at night on a popular trail there, and they ended up stranded and in need of rescue. The three young men were able to make a 911 call, and they were rescued. They had to do it by a human chain because they had slipped off this trail that runs between the upper and the lower falls at Tequamanon. And they were almost in the water, the Tequamanon River, at an icy spot. And it was so icy, they couldn't climb back up the embankment to get on the trail. Somebody told me up there this weekend that these youngsters was like celebrating New Year's Eve, I think. And they were not dressed for this. They were in tennis shoes. And anyway, by the time they were rescued, they were showing signs of hyperthermia. And it's an illustration to us all that winter camping or hiking does require some special preparations. I'm going to put a link to a video we did on tips about winter camping in the show notes. And we'll also link to that rescue story. So just go to the show notes, roadtrekking.com/225.
Banff National Park in Canada opened reservations for summer campers last week, setting a reservation record and causing the online system to freeze or crash several times. Some 13,500 bookings were made in the first 2.5 hours, setting a record. Banff is a beautiful park, one Mike and I have visited. We were astounded by the beauty of the park as well as the crowds.
Yeah.
We'll put a link to a video of our visit at roadtrekking.com/225. We'll also put a link to update info on about the reservation rush. Again, that's roadtrekking.com/225.
Well, as the Tampa show, RV Super Show, gets ready to bring in record crowds to Florida, and many, many other shows around the country, sales for Class B camper vans were up again for the last year. You know how much they were up? 28.5% for the 11 months that ended in November. This, according to RV Business, one of the big trade publications out there last week. Leading Class B sales winner, Winnebago Industries, they have about 40% of the Class B sales market. And they're followed by the Irwin Heimer Group of North America with 29%, but a solid lead with Winnebago. All those companies, Winnebago and their Heimer Group and Thor Industries and Pleasureway, all of them introducing new models at that Tampa show. We'll try and get video of as many of them as we can and have a video for you next week as well. But RV sales Class B continuing up. They're growing faster than any other type of RV. 28.5% sales growth in 2018. That's pretty amazing. This part of the podcast has been brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing and powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Rad Power Bikes offers a number of different bike models. Jennifer and I, both of us have the city bike version, and we love it. Mine looks kind of like a beach cruiser, very, very cool looking bike. And Jennifer has the same city version, but also it's a step through model, which means you don't have to throw your leg up over that center bar. All of the different bike models that Rad Power Bikes makes, you know, they have a cargo bike. They got a fat tired bike for you adventurers. They've got a foldable bike, and you can find them all at radpowerbikes.com. But all their models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. They all have the most powerful electric motor you can have on an e-bike and still be street legal. You get the choice to ride pedal-free with the throttle. In other words, it does all the work. Or it has five different levels in which you pedal, and then the throttle, however much you want to assist you for that little added boost, will kick in. You can combine that however you want. They're very fun to ride. Perfect for people who want to get into riding, maybe haven't been doing it for a number of years. Maybe you're recovering from surgery or an injury, or you're just looking for that little extra boost to keep up with friends and family. All their models can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. They're priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because Rad Power Bikes cuts out this dealer, retail, middleman markup chain. Now, if you mention Road Trekking at checkout, they'll give you an additional $75 off. Plus, you get free shipping on all their bike models. Visit them at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hey, Mike and Jennifer. I am so excited. I got my wife to agree to rent an RV for a family trip to my grandmother's 95th birthday. Of course, I know about Cruise America, but I know you did an episode about renting like a vacation rental by owner type setup. Do you have an affiliate link for that? I went to Allstays, and of course, all the parks in Louisville, you know, it has, you know, which ones, the pet policies and stuff. But is there a way of finding a park that just takes the dog experience up a level? Like maybe they have a special dog park or something, you know, some way of finding out how different parks are rated for dog facilities, or maybe dog parks in Louisville, some sort of website that I can look at for that. I want my wife to have a very good experience because I want to put an RV in my driveway. Thanks a lot, and love your podcast.
Well, bye-bye. Thank you. That is great. We are excited for you, and we hope that you have a, we know you're going to have a great time out there. It's really exciting to hear somebody.
It is all that excitement. And you can relate to this because you wanted an RV and you had to sell me on it.
Yeah, well, it wasn't too hard once we put you in one. But right. You're doing it the right way. You're renting one. And if your wife doesn't like this, you can say, well, let's try a different one. You can get a different size. You can go from Class B, Class C, Class A. There's a number of different ways to rent. And it used to be you had to rent pretty much always through a dealer. But now, just like, you know, Airbnb and VRBO have changed the way people rent houses and vacation houses. Now there are all of these peer-to-peer services that rent RVs. In other words, we have an RV and we don't use it all the time. You use it a few months of the year. And you then would...
I wonder what that noise was.
That's Bo.
Bo got his new dog license.
And he's scratching his neck.
He's giving himself a scratch. I thought Santa was here.
You know, Bo is in here, by the way, folks. He does the podcast with us every week. So if you have a question for Bo, Bo heard the dog park question.
Yeah, he heard about the dog park.
He's giving me some insight, and I'll give it to you in a minute here. But anyway, so now you can rent from somebody who has an RV, and maybe it sits in their driveway. They only get to use it, you know, 8-10 times a year. So instead of sitting in their driveway, they can rent it out. And a lot of people are doing that. We have two services that we recommend. And they both are, we have affiliates with both of them. And we think the world of them both. One is called Outdoorsy. And the other one is called RV Share. And if you go to our show notes for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/225, I'll build in a link to both of them, but if you want to just go there right now and write it down, go to roadtrekking.com/outdoorsy or roadtrekking.com/RVshare, and you'll get there and you'll be able to check out what RVs are available in your area and where to go from. I think you'll be very impressed with both of those services. Now, the caller asked about how to find dog parks. We do this a lot. And there are a couple of sites that I, again, will link these in the show notes. There's an app that you can use. But truthfully, most of the time, I just pick up one of our smartphones, or Jennifer does, and we search Dog Parks Louisville or Dog Parks Huntsville, Alabama, or wherever we happen to be. And we almost always find a dog park, almost always within an easy drive.
I think it's safe to say in Louisville, there will be dog parks.
Yeah, I looked briefly and I saw a half dozen at least. And I think there's more than that. But there are two sites. And I'll give you the order in which I think that the website's off the best. The first is one called bringfido.com. Bringfido, F-I-D-O, bringfido.com. And the other one is dogfriendly.com, dogfriendly.com. Now, both of those are websites. Not only do they tell you where you can find beaches that will let you bring your dog to go swimming, but dog parks that are in the area that you're looking. Also, they'll help you find dog-friendly restaurants where you can bring your dog with you if you're eating dinner. And lots of stuff. There's also places on how to find, pet centers and all the information that you want. So check out. Those are websites that I just gave you. And there is an app. There's a couple of apps for those of you who use Apple iOS devices. There's one called Dog Park Finder. Dog Park Finder. I'll put a link to it, as I said. And then Android users, there's one called Bark Happy. Bark Happy. And these are to look for dog parks. But I find the websites actually better. All those things I just shared with you, again, you don't have to try and write them all down now. Just when you get a chance, go to your computer and open up our show notes page, roadtrekking.com/225. But we love it. Half the fun of traveling is when we stop and let Bo discover a new dog park.
He always enjoys it.
Yeah.
I can't say hopefully he's going to like it. He always enjoys it.
Yeah. I mean, some of the parks.
He hasn't met a dog park yet that he hasn't enjoyed.
Yeah. Some are pretty small. They're pretty small parks, and some are really big. And those websites will help you. Many of them have pictures of them, so you can get a chance to look at them. But almost every community around now has a dog park. We have found them all over North America. And one of the fun ways to break up your drive is to, find a dog park 4 or 5 hours in and let your dog run, and you get to stretch your legs and get some fresh air. We've done that everywhere, and he's had some pretty good friends and some romps out there with his buddies.
He certainly has.
Bo has friends all across the country. Hey, we would love to hear from you.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment, click the leave voicemail button on the right side of the rvpodcast.com blog. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
And we would love to hear from you. You can leave a comment, you can leave a question. Just use our special voicemail number. It's 586-372-6990. That's 586-372-6990. Just dial it in on your phone and you can leave that number, and we'd love to be able to feature your voice on the podcast. All right, time now for our topic of the week. And this week, as we said, we are going to talk about DIY RVs, building out your own RV, buying a stripped down cargo van, and then converting that into a Class B RV. As I said at the top of the program, we were really excited to see two of them. They didn't know each other. They happened to park right across from each other at our campout this weekend up in the Upper Peninsula in the snow. One was on the Ford Transit chassis, and the other was on the Sprinter chassis. And we were so intrigued by what these two couples did in making their own RV that we did a video on them, and we'll have that up in a couple of weeks on our YouTube channel, and you'll be able to see it. But they did a great job. They saved a boatload, or shall I say, an RV load of money. I mean, the cost of an RV, as I said, $150,000 is not unusual for a Class B RV. Some even more. So what can you build your own for? A lot less than that. And you can save tens and tens of thousands of dollars by building your own. How hard is it? Well, a guy by the name of Ross Lukman is all about teaching people how to build their own camper vans. And he has set up a website, and I'll put a link in the show notes. It's called CargoVanConversionCourse.com. CargoVanConversionCourse.com. And we'll have a transcript of the interview as well in the show notes. But Ross is a young guy. He's from Texas. He has built his own van, lived in it for a couple of years. Now he travels the country and has set up kind of a publishing empire here of teaching people how to DIY your own van, to make your own RV. Listen up. I think you'll enjoy our interview with Ross Lukman.
Ross Lukman, thank you so much for being our special guest this week.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about what I think is a pretty rapidly growing niche in the RV industry, which is do-it-yourself van conversions. As more and more people are getting turned off by the high cost of an RV and finding that they can make exactly what they want for usually much less money. How much less money usually can somebody save off of a production model they buy from a dealer lot?
If they've got the skills, it does depend on their what they're building and what kind of amenities they're putting in there. But I would say, you know, maybe $20,000 to $40,000, $50,000 off of what it would cost to get one out of a factory.
I mentioned earlier that I met two people this past weekend at one of our campouts. I'll have a video on their vans that they converted and made themselves. And that was pretty much what they say. One of them had about the cost of the van, obviously, kind of an empty cargo van. And then one bought, added another $5,000-$6,000 and had what he wanted. And the other one probably almost as much as it cost to buy the unit. He bought a used unit, but saving $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 off of what you'd pay if you were buying it from a dealer. So the question, talk us through that whole procedure of doing it, from choosing a van to designing it and actually doing the work. How much is involved, and is this for everybody? Can most people figure out how to do this?
Let me get to that question. Let's start with the van. So most of the vans that people are using are Ford Transit, Mercedes Sprinter, or Dodge ProMaster here in the U.S. And so you kind of choose which brand appeals to you, and then choose your size so you can get the shorter wheelbase or the longer extended versions. And then as far as skill level, a lot of my students have some skill. They may be a woodworker, or they may have electrical knowledge from working on their house. And they have a few areas that they need to expand in. So I would say for people that aren't handy at all, that maybe have two left feet on the job site, maybe not. It may be more frustration than it's worth. But if you've got some DIY skills and a few tools, you can often make your way through the process. So once you choose your van, you're going to start to narrow down your design options, your floor plan, what you're going to be using the van for. And as far as the build process, should I go into the build process?
Yeah. I think a lot of us are very curious about, you know, how does it start? You cut the holes out, I guess, for windows. Mm-hmm. When you buy a cargo van, usually they're used for cargo, right? So you've got to kind of put your windows in. What are some of those build process things that people need to know that they got to figure out how to do?
Yeah, so you're going to start, you're going to work from the outside in mostly. So the roof is kind of your first major project, or with my process, that's the first thing to be tackled. And so you're going to decide on your ventilation, air conditioner, roof vent fans, and then whether or not you're going to have solar. And you're going to kind of lay that out. So the roof will have its own kind of floor plan. And you'll tackle that first. Then you're going to pop in things like shore power jacks on the side of the van. And once you get the outside kind of outfitted, you're going to move in. And the reason you're going to start on the outside first is those things are going to punch through the shell, and you're going to have to work around them in subsequent layers. So you'll move in, you'll do sound deadening and insulation. You go on to paneling, and then you just start infilling. Excuse me, there's wiring and then paneling. And you're going to start popping in your cabinets. And some people have been able to adopt store-bought cabinets and kind of make them work, modify them a little bit. And then others build cabinets from scratch. And once you get your cabinets in, you're going to come in and kind of terminate your wires for your end devices, your switches and dimmers and things like that. Put in your refrigerator, connect the wire for that.
There are two things scare me. The first thing that would scare me is the electrical. Oh, a lot of it scares me. My wife won't even let me operate a screwdriver. I have to sneak in, and she doesn't let me carry a toolbox because I tend to make more mess. But the things that I think that most people would say, whoa, wait a minute, what about the electrical system? That can get pretty complicated. And then the plumbing system, you know, the electrical power system and plumbing and water. Is there help available?
Yes, there is. There, you know, you've got your YouTube channels, and then there's providers like myself that offer video courses and PDFs that you can follow to kind of narrow down your options and get the exact installation steps for things like water tanks and power systems.
Let's talk about your course, cargovanconversioncourse.com, and we'll put links in the description of the video and in the show notes for the podcast so people can go and take a look at it. Tell us how that course came about, because obviously you did this yourself, and you might tell us a little bit how you got into the whole idea of a DIY van. And then how extensive is this course? How many parts is it? And what people need to know about signing up and following along?
Okay, so my story kind of started back in 2014. I, like a lot of people, saw some of the van movement on YouTube, and I had some role models, and was kind of looking for a change in my life. I was bored with my job, and I had a lot of skills. I have an architectural degree and I have a construction background. And my job at the time was in electrical systems. So I applied everything that I had learned up to that point and documented my process of constructing the course. The course itself, I believe, is about 130 short videos, 16 modules at this point. I also got some bonus courses on selecting a van. There's a deep dive on power systems. There's another deep dive on van design and making a lot of your design decisions. And then there's a couple other bonus courses. So I've expanded it. Basically been about 4 years I've been working with vans and several hundred students now. And the course itself, it takes you from an empty shell. Like we said, the cargo van is pretty blank. Actually, that is the advantage of the cargo van, is there's not much on it. So it's a great blank slate to add everything to. And it's going to take you from that empty shell all the way through a completed camper. So it covers the power system. And by power system, there are diagrams. So in the course itself, it's got 8 sample systems. And then there's over an hour of instruction of me actually on camera wiring things up, showing how, you know, each step is done.
The website is cargovanconversioncourse.com, all one word, and you can get to it. Ross, I'm curious about, you actually lived in the van that you made for a while. Tell us that experience. How was that?
Well, it was quite an experience. So it was from 2016 to 2018, and I'm in this apartment here now, which I've only been here about a month. But yeah, it was just about 2 years out on the road, and some of that was exploring. I went all over the Western United States, and then students began calling and asking for, you know, if I was available for builds. So I did several builds out on the road, which was, gave me a lot of experience with the Mercedes van, the ProMaster, and the Transit. After a couple of years, it became hard because I essentially run a publishing company and I have a lot of students requesting, you know, engineering documents and things. So I needed a place to draw. I needed a place to edit video. And it was just, I couldn't really grow the business and kind of do what needed to be done from the road as easily. So I did decide to get a home base. And at this point, I'm just using the van for excursions. And that's really kind of the customer that I'm now serving, is people that have a home base that just want to do vans for, you know, extended travel.
So not full-timers. They're not so many full-timers as they are RVers or people who want to have their own van. What are the differences that you see between a production or commercial RV, a van conversion, Class B van, and a DIY unit? And what are some of the things that you don't see on those production vehicles that you can't understand why manufacturers just don't put them in?
Well, I think, you know, depending on your price range, I think I like a lot of the vans that are coming out of the factories. I think they've got good design ideas, and I think they are working out a lot of the design kinks. And I think you do see just a little bit more personal flair. I guess when you're producing 10,000 or 5,000 of the same RV, you kind of have to pick colors and design choices that, you know, most people are going to like. You can't have, you know, really unique. You know, it's kind of like when in home building, there's builder beige. Everything's beige because it's kind of pleases everyone. There's no blue houses and so, or pink houses. And so with the DIY vans, you do see a little bit more of that personal flair. It's kind of like maybe the tiny house movement, where you're able to put your vision and put your dream into the end product. And it's not such a cookie cutter, you know, outcome.
I want to get to the tiny house thing in just a minute, because that is another hat there with your website, alternativehomestoday.com. But one of the things that I don't see a lot on the commercial off-the-lot production RV Class Bs is insulation and sound dampening. On the DIY vans, I've noticed, they all seem to ride quieter and to stay cooler or hotter, depending on the climate, longer. Is there a reason besides, I guess, just production and saving money that the DIY vans seem better that way?
Probably. Insulation is kind of a boring part of the build that you never see again once you put the wall up. And if you're going to be living in that van, in that vehicle, you're about the best person to, you know, really put the effort, put the money into putting those things that are going to be behind the scenes that no one's ever going to see, but you're going to experience as far as the performance later on. And so I would say yes. I think it's the same in home building. I met a guy that built his own home, and that he was on the site every day. And he was able to do that. And they said, this is going to be one of the best, or they said, this is one of the best homes I've ever seen. It was because he was there watching the process, and that changes things. So I'm not saying that all of the production builders are going to go deep on the insulation. Some of them are going to do no one's looking. But that is an area that's hidden behind the walls, and the DIYers have a vested interest in kind of maxing out the insulation.
And that would, I think, probably go true for everything else. You put in the amount of solar that you want, not that a dealer's trying to sell you. You put in the electrical system and the batteries, the kind of batteries that you want, instead of having to take what they offer. Let's talk about the tiny house movement. I've always found a very close relationship between the RV trends and people living in vans and full-time RVers and the tiny house movement. Now you have, tell us a little bit about what Alternative Homes Today is all about.
So that was my original site, and the vans kind of spun off from that. I started that site in 2012. I had gotten laid off in the architecture field during the recession back in 2009. And I discovered a book called Shelter, and it was written in the 70s, I believe, by Lloyd Kahn. And it had home types from all over the world that used all sorts of native materials and, you know, things we've heard of like adobe. There's also straw bale, which a lot of people have heard of. And I just went down a rabbit hole. I couldn't figure out why they weren't teaching these things in school. And, you know, we had hundreds of options, and why weren't any of these options available to build for people? And so I started that site to kind of research that topic. And several years later, during my research, I began writing a book for that site.
Do you see a growing trend in alternative homes? And then also, what are you seeing these days in terms of how many people do you think are moving towards the DIY, can make your own van as well?
I do see people pursuing new options. I do think it's kind of fueled by the internet in two ways. The internet is not only connecting us to people doing things differently, so we have those role models, but it's also allowing us to connect with our families and work in different ways that weren't available before. So I think there is kind of a disintegration of maybe the old order, and people are seeking and discovering new ways of doing things. As far as the vans, it has. I think that Mercedes moving a plant, building a multi-billion dollar plant in South Carolina to build their vans stateside is kind of indicative of the explosion in the van space. They've even asked people, they're not quite sure why they're selling so many vans or what that market need is. But I think it's just changing times, changing economic conditions, and the ability to make an income in new ways is having people question their old ways of living. So yeah, the van space is definitely blowing up, and tons of new YouTube channels are just kind of feeding the movement.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, because that's what we do as well.
Yeah.
Time rates. From let's take a Sprinter van, which you just mentioned, a Mercedes Sprinter. What should people budget time wise to from the time they bring it home, put it in the driveway, until the time they drive off on their first camping trip? How long does it take to generate?
Okay.
How much time? How many hours does it take to build one? Perhaps
I would give yourself at least 500 hours. It could be a weekend project. I've had students. I had a guy, he's in Los Angeles area. He's a set designer in Hollywood, and he did his van in like 2 months on the weekends, really fast. And then I have students that joined 2 years ago, and they're just now, moving through, getting started with the construction. And that doesn't necessarily speak to the construction time, but sometimes people are in the planning phase for a while. But some of them take maybe two to six months.
And do you help people find the products that they need? I mean, where do you begin to look for? I want to put a couple of articulating beds in mine, or a special desk, or so I can work on the road, or I want a better refrigerator. Do you help them source out the material that they need?
I do. So each module in my course has videos, but it has associated tools and products from the videos. And then, and that's kind of ever expanding. And then there are unique requests that haven't been covered in the course. And so I'll get emails about different options for, different air conditioner options, or different ways of doing things, or different rare components for a specific task.
The cost for the course, so people have an idea what to budget, add it to their price for buying the van. What is the course, the cost for the cargo van conversion course?
It's currently $497 for 2019.
For 2019.
So that price may change. And that includes the original course, and then there's five new courses that are in development here for 2019. Covering.
And once they are a student of yours, I would assume they have access to you all the time.
They do. So they have email access to me. There's also a Facebook community with quite a few students in there. And so they help each other and they can email me. And so they get plenty of support as well as all of the course materials. It's lifetime access.
Well, I am looking forward to running into more of the DIYers out there. I will have a video up in a couple of weeks on two of the folks that we met this past weekend. That's how I found Ross, because one of them had used your course. And I want to thank Larry and Wendy, who will be stars on one of our YouTubes coming up in just a couple of weeks. But after I heard about you, Ross Lukeman, I said, I got to get him on the program because there's a lot of people very interested. And, you know, let's face it, these RVs cost, to get one off the lot that's new, you're pushing $120,000 to $150,000 on a major RV, Class B RV. So anything that can save money as dramatically as you have and customize it the way you like it, that's all a good deal.
Yeah.
Ross, thanks so much for being our guest on the podcast and for this special interview on our YouTube channel as well. You've been great.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll put links to everything. Thanks again, Ross.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Ross's website is cargovanconversionscourse.com, and we will put up a transcript of the interview that we just had with him as well. And I think a lot of people are interested in that. Like I said, a couple weeks now, I'll have a video up on the two couples who we ran into this past weekend who have done their own vans, DIYers who converted their own vans. The interview of the week is brought to you by our friends at SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new or used motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. Hey, if you're going to the Tampa RV show this week, I want you to look up Nick Schmidt from Sunshine State RVs. You'll find Nick. He's hanging out with the folks at the American Coach Patriots website. Also, the Fleetwood IROC, which is a brand new Class B, making its debut on the ProMaster chassis. Nick Schmidt will be there at American Coach and Fleetwood IROC, and he'd love to say hello to you. Sunshine State RVs is an amazing place for a couple of reasons. First, the quality of service that you get from Nick and his whole technical team. Secondly, they have, I am sure, the largest selection of used Class B RVs anywhere in the country, anywhere really in North America. They have all the ones that you want, the most popular brands like Pleasure Way, like Road Trek, Winnebago, Leisure Travel Vans, and many, many more. If you are looking for a used Class B motorhome, you know how hard they are to find, how scarce they are. People hold on to them and they hold their value. Well, Nick and Sunshine State RVs has more inventory of used Class Bs ranging from the early 90s to really the current year. Check them out, sunshinestaterVs.com. They also sell brand new brands as well. They have new Road Treks, new Hymers, new Chinooks, new Coachman RVs, all Class Bs. Every RV they sell goes through a 172-point inspection. They make sure that every mechanical and manual system is in top condition. They road test every RV. They make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior components, the outside. Every component's turned on and tested. They make sure it works. And, of course, they're thoroughly cleaned and detailed. Talk to Nick himself if you're at the Florida RV show, the big Super RV show in Tampa this week. Look him up again. Nick will be hanging out with the folks for the Fleetwood IROC and American Coach display at the Tampa RV show. And I know Nick would love to see you. Sunshine State RVs, that's their website. You can check out their inventory right online.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, time to go to our regular Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. It was a windy, chilly late winter afternoon, the light beginning to fade as we climbed onto a long wooden deck along the Platte River in Nebraska. A couple of enthusiastic photographers had already staked out tripod spots and were huddled in their coats nearby. As yet, the sky and the river were empty, but we had it on good authority that that would soon change. The authority was the staff of the Crane Trust, just down the road in Wood River.
Back in 1978, the Missouri Basin Power Project was proceeding with plans to build a dam on a tributary of the Platte River. The state of Nebraska and the National Wildlife Federation sued to prevent construction, claiming that it would endanger wildlife and irrigation projects downstream. The final settlement satisfied requirements of the Endangered Species Act and provided funding for the Crane Foundation. 40 years later, the foundation manages a vast network of feeding areas, viewing areas, visitor facilities, and research projects.
We'd made our way to the Big Bend area of the Platte specifically for this event. Every year, sometime in March, sandhill cranes travel through this region on their way north. Some of them fly as far as Siberia, a journey of 5,000 miles. More than half of the food they consume for the journey comes from waste grain in the fields along the Platte Valley.
The birds fly out from their wintering grounds in Texas and New Mexico in late February, stopping to feed as they make their way north. Here in the heart of the Midwest, they rest for several days, combing the cornfields by day and sleeping in huge rafts on the shallow river by night. After adding 10% or more to their body weight, they depart again for their ultimate destination, far to the north.
Dusk fell, and the birds began to arrive. A few, typically a family group, would settle in a shallow area of the river. Many more circled above as if deciding whether it was safe to alight. Then, in a moment, they all descended to the water and took up roosting. The sky was dark with birds as far as my binoculars could see until full dark. By then, the river was full of birds, gray masses of sandhill cranes interrupted occasionally by the white of a group of pelicans or an even smaller group of whooping cranes.
During the day, we crawled the roads along the nearby fields. Nearly every field was populated by hundreds of cranes feeding on the remains of the autumn corn harvest. These are marvelous, beautiful birds, graceful, sassy, and about 5 feet tall, with a bright red head patch. The visitor center offers displays, maps, advice, guided tours, and overnight accommodations attached to viewing blinds should you wish an ultimate up-close experience.
A smaller group of cranes travels the Ohio Valley Flyway, leaving their wintering grounds in Florida for the same northern destinations. This group makes its big stop over in Wisconsin, and the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo provides information and viewing opportunities there. Socorro, New Mexico hosts a crane festival when the birds return in November to the Bosque del Apache Wildlife Refuge. Paynes Prairie State Park hosts the overwintering Florida flocks, which are in residence from late October until early March.
Each day during the migration, planes and helicopters fly over the Platte taking pictures. These are analyzed to determine the number of birds currently in the area, and the numbers are posted at the visitor center. On the day we were there, the count was 603,000, more than 500,000 birds. The vast numbers we saw from our perch on the riverbank were only a small fraction of that total, and even so, were enough to overwhelm our sense of scale.
This is one of the greatest wildlife migrations on our planet. As we stood watching the sky empty of birds, only to be instantly refilled, we were reminded of the pioneer stories in which herds of bison passed for days on end. Those days are gone, sadly, but this spectacle is equally majestic and inspiring. When you come to see it, look down for just a minute, and you might see us, Patty and Tom Burkett, out here off the beaten path.
Another great report from the Burkitts as they continue to find all those great spots just perfect for you RVers. But where do you stay when you're out there hunting sandhill cranes or whatever off the beaten path the enjoyments you're looking for? Well, we want to recommend the people who sponsor this part of the podcast, Harvest Hosts, which is a network, membership service network of farms and wineries and museums and attractions where RVers can stay overnight for free. Now, when you become a Harvest Host member, you can visit and stay at any more than 600 stunning locations completely free. So why would you want to stay at one of those boring, crowded, expensive $50 a night campgrounds? Instead, Harvest Hosts offer unique experiences that make lasting memories with your family and your friends. The annual $79 membership fee pays for itself in just a couple of nights of on the road if you're going into a campground. But because you are a listener to the RV podcast, we can save you even more off that $79 price. In fact, we can get you 15% off that if you use the very special coupon code HHFRIENDS15 at checkout. Best way to do it is just go to our special Harvest Host information page at roadtrekking.com, Harvest Hosts, roadtrekking.com, Harvest Hosts for details.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right, so I really debated, am I going to read this list? There are so many RV shows, but I'm going to read it, and hopefully you'll hear one near you, and then you can go to the website, and I'll build in a link for every one of these shows that are coming up this weekend that I am mentioning on this podcast. There are RV shows across North America. You ready to go? All right, January 11th through the 20th, the Ohio RV and Boat Show at the Ohio Expo Center in the State Fairgrounds in Columbus. January 12th through the 21st, the Manufacturers RV Show at the Alameda County Fairgrounds in Pleasanton, California. January 16th through the 20th, that's the one we'll be at, the Florida RV Super Show at the Florida State Fairgrounds. Come to our meet and greet Saturday the 19th from about 11 to 3. We'll be hanging out at the Road Trek booth and we'd love to see you. And we'll do a special live stream from the show for all of you who watch us on YouTube at 3 p.m. Saturday. January 17th to 20th, the Idaho RV Super Show. That's at the Expo Idaho Center in Boise, Idaho. January 17th through the 20th, the Grand Rapids Camper Travel and RV Show. That's a big one at the DeVos Place in Grand Rapids, Michigan. January 17th through the 20th, Mid-America RV Show, Kansas City Convention Center, Bartle Hall, Kansas City, Mo. January 17th through the 20th, another one in Michigan, the Mid-Michigan RV Show at the Michigan State University Pavilion in East Lansing, Michigan. January 17th through the 20th, the Toronto RV Show and Sale at the Toronto Congress Center in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. January 18th through the 20th, the Charlotte RV Show, Park Expo and Conference Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. January 18th through the 20th, and then the following week, the 23rd through the 27th, the Cincinnati Travel, Sports, and Boat Show at the Duke Convention Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. January 18th through the 20th, the River City Hunting, Fishing, Boat, and RV Expo at the Mid-America Center in Council Bluffs, Iowa. January 18th through the 20th, the Des Moines RV and Outdoor Show at the Iowa Events Center in Des Moines, Iowa. January 18th through the 20th, the East Texas Boat and RV Show at the Maud Cobb Activity Center in Longview, Texas. January 18th through the 20th, the Greater Chicago RV Show at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center in Schaumburg, Illinois. January 18th through the 20th, the Great Rockies Sports Show at the Metra Park Expo Center in Billings, Montana. January 18th through the 20th, the Iowa Boat, RV, and Vacation Show at the Unidome in Cedar Falls, Iowa. January 18th through the 20th, the Central Gulf Coast Boat, Sport, and RV Show at the Lake Charles Civic Center in Lake Charles, Louisiana. January 18th through the 20th, the New Jersey RV and Camping Show, Edison, the New Jersey Convention and Expo Center in Edison, New Jersey. January 18th through the 20th, the Tacoma RV Show, Tacoma Dome, Tacoma, Washington. The 18th through the 20th, the Tidewater RV Show, Virginia Beach Convention Center, Virginia Beach, Virginia. January 18th through the 21st, the Boston RV and Camping Expo. That's another big one at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center in Boston, Mass. January 18th through the 27th, the Western New York RV Show at the Hamburg Fairgrounds Event Center in Hamburg, New York. January 19th through the 27th, the Pittsburgh RV Show at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center in Pittsburgh. And one more, and this is also a huge show that I know a lot of people who are listening to this podcast are probably there right now, and that is January 19th through the 27th, the Quartzsite Sports Vacation and RV Show at Quartzsite Showgrounds in Quartzsite, Arizona.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so ends another episode of the RV Podcast. Remember, if you'd like to have your voice heard, be a part of the podcast, you can record a voicemail message. Just call 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990. Make your comments or your questions. There's a link to that phone number, by the way, on our RV Lifestyle blog. You can go to rvlifestyle.com and look on the right-hand side. You'll see the link for that phone number. Don't forget, new episodes of the podcast are released every Wednesday. The best way to make sure you've got one is to subscribe. We're on all the major podcast platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TunedIn, the Google Podcast, all of them. Just look us up, RV Lifestyle, and subscribe. Don't forget our YouTube channel. We'll have a big video out this week, this Thursday, on our winter camp out. And then next week, we'll be doing a video on the Tampa RV Show that we're attending. Thank you guys so much for listening. Stay warm. Enjoy the week. Till next time, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendland. So long, everybody. Happy trails.